It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. This is your daily sports dump for today. What is today? It is Friday. That's right, Friday, March 6th, 2020. Well, folks, we have a very special episode for you, so I'm sorry to say no mock draft update for today, but I gave you two yesterday, and we'll be right back at it Monday. I know you're probably not upset. Either way, we're not doing it. Also, because we have such a nice, good, long, chunky interview for you, we are taking a break from our baseball previews today. But if you didn't have a chance yesterday, listen to our preview of the Blue Jays and the Phillies for some interesting statistics and some even more interesting names. But right now, I'm happy to say we're going to bring you David Sampson, former Marlins president and current host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, which you can find on iTunes. It's on the CBS network of podcasts, so go look for that. We had a little audio trouble at the top of the interview, but we hopefully corrected that for the rest of it, so get through the first minute and you'll enjoy the rest of this interview, in which we talk about everything except the one thing I asked him to talk about before the interview. I just realized that now, that we never spoke about the one thing I wanted to talk to him about. But we talked about everything else, so please enjoy. And here we are with David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins and host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson on CBS Sports. Is it on CBS Sports HQ? What's the network called? Is it just CBS?
So it's on the CBS Sports YouTube channel is the video of the show every day. And then it's a podcast on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts. And sometimes CBS Sports HQ shows me while I'm taping the show, which is every day from 2 to 2:45. Sometimes they do a live look-in and just try to listen to what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I got to see a little bit today, is a little of the live look-in. And you were talking about something that made me happy, which was Chris Sale and how a flexor strain is not always exactly a flexor strain.
Yeah, that's a word you don't ever want to hear during my time in baseball. I never wanted to hear about a pitcher with a flexor strain because it just means that Tommy John is likely to come soon after.
It was at this point that we began to experience technical difficulties. If you would like to hear the entire screw-up, just wait till after the end of the episode and you can hear me desperately hanging up on David and the whole thing for about 2 minutes of real struggle and incompetence. But that's bonus stuff after the end. Now, back to where we were. Well, the good thing is I was recording all of that. I'll edit all that ridiculousness out later. If I was capable of shame, I'd be very embarrassed at what just happened right there, David. I'm sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay, so we were back to the Red Sox and Chris Sale, and this brings up a question because obviously he's had health questions. Obviously they just traded, a transformational player, but they did get a World Series out of all this with Dave Dombrowski. In your mind, is it worth what they're going through now to have gotten what they did before?
So my rule of thumb is one ring equals at least 1 year. And if I could get a ring from a player and then lose that player for a year of injury, it's way worth it. My rule is one ring equals 2 years. If I can get one ring, I'm happy to lose 2 years of that player. My further rule is 1 year equals forever.
Yeah.
One ring equals forever. So if you get a ring, that's what it's all about. Listen, are you happy that you may have Chris Sale for 5 years and $145 million and that he may miss a year or not be as productive or not be an agent? You're despondent. And that's why on my show and on CBS Sports HQ, I didn't understand why they signed him to the extension that they did when he had these health. He was trending the wrong way, but they let emotion get in the way.
Sure.
And I get it. When you win with somebody and they used to be an ace, you get the feeling that you can keep that up forever, but forever isn't what you think it is in the sport of baseball.
No, and I think history has shown you the franchises that get rid of somebody a little earlier as opposed to a little later do tend to have a little more sustained. If they don't have the budget like a Yankees, they tend to have sustained success.
Yeah, that's the key, right? So when you're a low revenue team like I had with for all 18 of my seasons,
right,
you have to not make mistakes with long term deals. You have to trade players a year too early instead of a year too late, and that's painful to do, but you have to do it. Or you have to make a decision that you're going to keep a player until he's a free agent, acknowledging that you're going to use that as your window, and then let the free agent go. So for the Red Sox to have traded Mookie Betts, that the reason why that's painful for Red Sox fans is they're not used to the Red Sox acting the way every other team acts.
Right.
That is a perfectly rational thing the Red Sox did. If the Twins were doing that with Mookie Betts or the Marlins or the White Sox or anybody else, no one's batting an eye. The reason why they're surprised is that it was the Red Sox.
Right. Generally, the Red Sox are the beneficiaries of those kinds of trades and not the ones giving
right.
it away. Well, one good thing.
The doesn't last happen like that all the time.
No. And the last time the Red Sox traded a transformational player was about 100 years ago, and it followed the last decade that the Yankees did not win a World Series in. So if I'm a Yankee fan, and I am, I'm liking the way things are looking right now. Just if you're looking...
Well, if you're a Yankee fan, I assume that you realize that they have not won a World Series since 2009. I assume that you realize that they obviously traded for Stanton. They signed Cole, who's a true ace. And you also realize that you've got injuries. You've got a potential lack of performance in Gary Sanchez that is somewhat concerning to you. Because last year, when you had all the injuries, every single backup player played like a frontline all-star player. And I don't think the Yankees are going to get that again.
You're saying Gio Urshela is not a 850 OPS guy?
I'm saying that I will be shocked, absolutely shocked, if he matches his season from last year.
Yeah, yeah. Regression is likely, I would guess. Because until then, he was nothing. I mean, you know, he was, I shouldn't say something like that.
Counting on him to be the anchor of a Yankee team that's going to make the playoffs and win a World Series, I just don't think that's realistic. I think that having Judge and Stanton in that lineup matters. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, the Stanton trade does not look so bad for the Marlins. I mean, they didn't get much back, but in what they have given up salary-wise. Right, right.
Yeah, so just so you know, the Stanton trade has already been evaluated by the Marlins, and it's the best trade in the history of the franchise. It has nothing to do with the players who got back. It has nothing to do with the fact that Stanton won't opt out after this year and that Marlins will still owe the Yankees $30 million. Assuming they still owe $30 million, the amount of money that they got out from under is so significant that it would have crippled the franchise and their ability to rebuild. I don't know if the Marlins got it right, and we'll find out soon enough. But if they continue to lose 100 games every year, obviously they didn't get it right.
Right.
But at least they had a chance to bring in prospects who they thought would be good, could be good. And we just don't know if they will be good. But they got rid of the Stanton salary, which enabled them to have all of these prospects, move all these players, and then have some sort of ability to compete, maybe one day.
Yeah.
That's a win.
Yeah, but and I heard you talking about the Yelich contract yesterday. I wasn't planning on asking you this, but, I mean, when you have a player that young, and that really was a good contract, I know that at the time it was a great contract for him because of the security it gave him, but at the time they traded him, I think that contract was looking great for them, and the return doesn't end, I know, with minor leaguers, but why not just keep him? Were they that in the hole that they couldn't afford such a good player at such a reasonable price?
No, it's a great question. Yelich had told Jeter that he wanted to be traded because he wanted to be part of a rebuild.
Yeah.
And Jeter gave into that, whereas I could care less what a player tells me. Put on the uniform that you have, and you're lucky to have a uniform. You'll get paid every 2 weeks, go out there and play.
Well,
Yelich
yeah.
made it clear he wanted to get out, and it is, according to Jeter and his top guy, a guy named Gary Dembo, mm-hmm. the belief is that the players they got, Lewis Brinson, Monty Harrison, Jordan Yamamoto, and one other guy whose name escapes me right now.
Sure.
But in that 4-for-1 trade, they believe that they got enough back to warrant losing someone they felt had a bad attitude and cutting that level of payroll.
Yeah.
Because it was no way they should have traded Yelich for me. That's one of the great team-friendly deals. And God forbid a team takes advantage of a great deal.
Right.
Why did the Brewers have to rip up the third-year option in 2022? Where he was going to get $15 million. That's how you win when you're not the Yankees or Red Sox, is you pay Yelich $15 million and he plays like a $40 million player.
That's how
you can actually win a ring.
Like in the NFL, when you have a young quarterback on a good contract, that's how you win. You know, it's a similar thing. And that's a good transition point. I don't even have to do the transition. It's so easy because you're talking about leverage there and kind of the concept of it. You know, really, what leverage did he have with them other than, like you said, emotion from the Brewers to give him that contract when really they don't have to? Yeah. Now, in the end, I want to talk about the NFL a little bit because I'm just, you know, I'm looking at this agreement and there is a lot more money coming in. But my point is never, ever negotiate doing more work for your employer. Make it a non-starter or say, you got to knock me, and it's got to be a unanimous vote. You got to knock me over with such a good offer. Never take more work. If your boss says to you, hey, you've been working Monday through Friday, but every 3 weeks we want you to come in here on a Saturday, and this is mandatory now, I'm like, great, quadruple overtime on Saturday if that's what you're trying to negotiate in. And that's what I think about this 17th game they're trying to add.
Yeah, I don't see it. Obviously, I don't see it that way at all. Just out of curiosity, is the total number of weeks that they put on the uniform different?
No, but the damage they do to their bodies is.
Come on.
No!
That is such a funny argument to me.
Well, here's
they're playing the same number of games. There's one fewer preseason game, one more regular season game. And you know what they're getting for it? These players are not going to get more injured because they're playing one extra game. Football is a violent sport. Begin with, and we as fans are the biggest culprits because we want the biggest impact, highest impact, hardest hits of all time. But when someone gets knocked out or is unconscious or paralyzed, we say, oh my God, we don't approve or we don't like that. We better get better helmets. But we love the hard hits.
Sure.
So there's a lot of money, and the players are getting, you talk about getting quadruple overtime, you are.
I looked at it, and it is impressive money. It is impressive money. But here's my point. You can do an 18-week season where each team gets two bye weeks, therefore getting a bye week before that Thursday game so they never play on a short week. The NFL gets a full additional week of national broadcast games, and no player has to put any more risk on than they do. I think if the NFL truly cared, but the NFL needs every single drop of blood available. And I get that that's
God
the back and forth. Sure. And that's why you leverage the hell out of it if you're the players and you say, guess, and here's the thing. I know how it is with the NFL. They fold every time. The owners have much less at stake than the players do, and so they're willing to sit out some time. But you got to be able to take that sacrifice and say, screw you. You're going to lose $1 billion or more on these first few games. Do what Emmett Smith did and wait it out. I'd just say it's a non-starter to add more work and then have the NFL work around that.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, but you're living in la-la land. This TBA is going to pass for sure, right?
You think it is? You think it's going to pass for sure?
I guarantee it will pass.
Yeah.
Because the people coming out for the nose are people who have no idea what it is anymore to be so worried about money and your future, that you want your minimum salaries higher because the majority of the NFL players don't get to play for more than 2 years.
That's true.
So increasing minimum salaries is way more important than the piece of the revenue pie and the fully vested pension amounts, because all of that, those really apply to people who are fully vested, who have full careers, which is not the majority of the union.
Right.
And remember, you only need, assuming there's 2,000 voters, you only need 1,001 yeses.
Sure.
And there are not 1,000 people who are like Aaron Rodgers in the NFL.
No, and it's and I don't think you ever necessarily want to have the highest earners making the decision for you. I'm in the Screen Actors Guild, so I'm familiar with, you know, that kind of dynamic. And it's true that when our negotiations go, you know, the you want the everyday, you know, scrubs out there, whatever you want to call it, to be getting a living wage. And that's what you want to negotiate. And I did look at the thing. It's a $100,000 increase for minimums. But, you know, NFL rosters are so huge and there's just so much money. I'm just, again, we're coming at it from completely different directions. And I the negotiations that I've been involved in were such small stakes that I could afford to be a much bigger jerk about it and still get what I wanted. This is the real world times a million with this, but it just makes me mad that I see a logical solution that everybody wins in, and there's really, you know, but who the hell am I?
Did you read the 456-page document?
You know, in today's environment, I could say that I did, and people would believe it, because no one's read the Mueller report.
No one's
read the Mueller report, but everyone says they have.
The number of players who are going to read the whole CBA is de minimis.
Yeah.
The lawyers will read it.
Yes.
And maybe, I would bet you out of 32 owners, four of them will read the whole thing. And out of 2,000 players, six of them will read the whole thing.
Yeah.
They'll all read summaries that are given to them by their lawyers and by their union leaders or by their lead executives.
Yeah.
The league lawyers, et cetera. And so the bottom line is that every trade in a collective bargaining agreement between a union and its management, it's all economic.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Each thing has a price associated
with
it. When you increase the minimum, you multiply that by the number of jobs, the number of players worth the minimum, that's the amount of money that's on the union side.
Yep.
When the union agrees to a 17th game, you look at the increased revenue that the teams have based on their local and national revenue. That's money on the player, on the owner side. So it really is just a large equation.
Yeah, true. And again, I'm an eat the rich guy, but only because I'm not rich. So, you know, that could change. That could change, actually. You know, it'll be in this game. I'm gonna see if you want to buy my website for $1 million. But, all right, great. So we got that. That's good. And I like we get both ends of that because, you know, we have both perspectives. And I see where you're coming from. And I can't say, after doing a little more research, I can't say that there's not great gains by the players. I just always want more. I did a negotiation and we tripled our salary for writing a show, and I was still mad afterwards that we didn't get enough. So I'm never satisfied. But moving on.
You sound like you should be in the Hamilton musical.
You know what? If the founding fathers saw what was going on right now, there'd be another American Revolution. There would.
I was referring to the song Satisfied, actually.
Oh, I don't know the... I don't... David, I'm a...
You totally missed that.
I did.
Seen Hamilton.
I haven't seen it.
That was awfully fun and clever.
I haven't seen it because I've been spoiled. I'm an improviser, and I see a lot of singing improv, and let's not compare Hamilton to singing improv. I understand that. But it throws me off because I think singing is over-rewarded, certainly in the improv world. And so people are like, wow, he sang it with meter. And I'm like, yeah, but it would have been much better if he said it and had a little more. But that's my, again. And I'm sorry I missed the reference. I shouldn't do that. But now we're going to test your reference level. If you have another minute or two, last time I tried to play a game with you with great GMs from history, that's when I found out what an error I had made because you were the team president.
So, and did you notice I didn't correct you?
No.
Because I'm not that guy.
No, but, you know, I would have been fine with, I don't mind correction because I like, you know, I like conflict. But this one now, in an effort to, you know, to rectify things, I'm going to give you some trivia questions about presidents or things.
Oh,
these are not United States presidents, though. So these are kind of other types of presidents. All right. And this will.
All right, I'm ready.
And this first one was a jazz musician, played tenor sax, known as the Prez.
Oh my God. Mingus.
Close. Lester Young, who Mingus actually wrote Goodbye Pork Pie Hat as a eulogy to Lester Young. So you were very close. These are tough ones. This one you might get. This man is the only person to have been president of both the Screen Actors Guild and the National Rifle Association.
Charlton Heston.
There you go. Very good. I wonder if he has a gun in his cold, dead hands right now.
I don't know. I couldn't be more anti, but I did know he was the president.
Yes, well, we agree on that. Now, this one, there's a little bit of president here, but the answer is not. This man co-authored The President is Missing with Bill Clinton. This book just came out.
George Stephanopoulos.
No, James Patterson.
No way.
Yes, it's out now. There's like
Is it a fiction?
He did. It's called The President is Missing, Bill Clinton and James Patterson. I'm as surprised as you. You should read that. The sports teams of this Pennsylvania college are called the Presidents. Do you know the college?
Their nickname is the Presidents?
Yep.
I've never heard of that nickname ever.
Me either. This is all internet work. It's Washington and Jefferson.
By the way, that's a dead giveaway. I'm Franklin and Marshall.
Oh, there you go. Now, Ben Franklin.
Not president. No. I thought it was more aspirational.
Well, you know what? Ben Franklin knew he could do more not being president, and people should pay attention to that.
Indeed, they should.
Everybody doesn't have to be president. All right, I got a couple more here. This Orioles and Expos pitcher, by the way, I mispronounce Orioles all the time, always have.
You just said Oreo.
I always do. Always, since I was a kid. I always have, and I always will. I don't know why.
Fair enough.
But consistent. Steve. He was nicknamed El Presidente through a perfect game.
Dennis Martinez.
There you go. That would be bad if you missed that one.
Okay, thank you. Because
you work in the baseball industry. I figured you'd get that one. All right. This rapper has appeared with Poppy and Dan Lebatard and is sometimes referred to as President Carter.
As President what?
Carter.
The Weeknd.
No, but I see where you'd get that. Lil Wayne.
All right. I'm actually okay with not getting that.
Yes. And the final one, which
just
is...
Don't tell Dan.
I will not tell... You know what? I promise if I ever get to talk to Dan, I will not tell him that.
Fair enough.
I'll play a game with him like Famous Dan's or something. And now the final one, this man, his website, Barstool Sports, was just valuated at $425 million. I guess he refers to himself as El Presidente. Do you know his name?
So this one disappoints me, actually, because I don't know it off the top of my head, and I should. And is it Franklin?
It's David Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy, got it.
And isn't there a Philip Roth book, Portnoy's something?
So I'm not embarrassed by not knowing that. Disappointed is a better word. I want to know that, because it's an interesting, I mean, they have some of the top podcasts and shows. They're obviously disturbers of peace.
Yes.
In an obviously nonviolent way. But as an executive, I was much less tolerant of their shtick than I am as a current podcast showrunner.
Well, sure.
So I have respect for them. I always did, but I should be paying more attention to it, which I didn't. And of course, I know now that you've told me. So thank you. Never forget.
Well, there you go. And because you were. Before, you were in commerce. Now you're an artist, so you understand the difference of art and commerce. And sometimes it mixes, and this is what I was going to say. Barstool Sports was valuated at $425 million. Now, you talk about disrupting things. My website's called The Sports Dump, David. The Sports Dump. That's disruptive. I figure we are at least one 425 millionth of Barstool Sports, which is why I valuated my website at $1 million. So I'm saying
You got the math wrong there, my friend.
I did?
You're $425 million.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. That's a dollar.
I will take your website right now for a dollar.
No, we're actually worth more than a dollar. Barely, but I totally messed up. Here we are talking about negotiations, and I've just sold my website to you for a dollar. What an embarrassment. You know, ultimately, that's probably... Hey. That's a good way to end things, David.
Have a great day.
I'm going to give you a little sports thing that you can use if you want on yours. A sports fact I found when I was doing my baseball previews. Did you know the original name of the Baltimore Orioles? I know I said it wrong again, but do you know what the original franchise was?
count the Redbirds? Tell me.
The Milwaukee Brewers. For 1 year in 1901, the original Milwaukee Brewers were the what is now the Orioles.
So, I love that.
So you can share that if you want.
That's the most amazing thing. I may use that on nothing personal.
Well, please, please do, and I hope we can talk to you on the Sports Dump again, and we'll play some other game or something like that. And say hi to Dan and all those guys. I'm going to start asking the shipping container if they'll do interviews, so if they ask you if I'm weird, tell them I am.
I've never had more fun in a dump than I have in this last 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. David, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that if I can more than once. Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. It's true. Hold for 1 second, David.
I'm going to shift you to a different speaker. I got you here. Still going. We're still recording, and I'll fix that. Sorry about that. It's just a little louder on this speaker. If I can. Okay. I think go ahead and talk. Let me see if it's coming through the speaker. Did I hang up on you, David? Still there? I think I hung up on him. Shit.
Whatever you did not work.
That is very true. It did not work, but it's working now.
This is why we're called the Sports Dump, David.
I can't hear you at all.
You can't hear me at all.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. How about now?
I'm hanging up again.
Okay. All right. What an idiot I am.